noticed this morning before service, some of the kids were up here dancing before service. You see that? They were dancing. I thought that was so sweet. Hey, baby. Hey, Doc's in the house, y'all. Did y'all know that? All the way from Florida. Hey, Doc. Big Doc. He came and took some pictures. I called it a droid this morning. I got it wrong. It's a, what do you call it, Doc? Drone. Doc's got a little drone he can fly around. So he better be good. But anyway, he got a several pictures of our church. Overhead pictures are beautiful. So we're going to blow some of them up at some point and frame them. They're really nice. It shows the air. It's beautiful what he did. So I appreciate him doing that for us. Are y'all hot? Everybody's hot. I agree with that. We're all hot, ain't we? I think we're all hot. This is me and Brad, right? Brad, we hot. Yeah. Turn a little air on if we need to. What's the temperature back there? Oh, yeah, turn air on. Because it'll get a lot hotter when I start preaching. Turn it. Eyes on Jesus. I got thinking about how many times that we go through things we go through and we keep bearing the things we go through, I think, because we're giving too much attention to that and not to God. The more we look at our battle and the more we focus on our stronghold or our addiction or our battle or whatever issue we got, the more we focus on that negative thing that's facing us, you know what that does? It feeds that, and it gives that energy, and it gives that life. And we focus so much on that that we fail sometimes to remember, but I serve a God. I mean, do you know who my dad is? Do you know who my father is? I serve a God who's well able to overcome anything that comes against me. Well able. But sometimes our eyes get off that. Our eyes get on our problem. They get on what's pulling us down. They get on what's holding us in. And we put all of our energy toward trying to figure out how to get out of that instead of just looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, to recognize and realize he can pull me out. Because I'm a firm believer that God is still alive and moving in the earth. His spirit is still strong. His spirit is still drawing. He has not lost 1 ounce of power, 1 ounce of grace, 1 ounce of deliverance. He's the same God that we read about with Moses and Joseph and David and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He's the same God. He's not changed. And you know what made these people see God in such a special way? Their eyes were on him. We've been doing a Daniel series for several weeks on Wednesday nights. And that's what Daniel did. His eyes were always on God. No matter what happened, his eyes stayed on God. In that pagan country, his eyes were on God. When the king put pressure on him, his eyes were on God. When the law was made, he couldn't pray to his God and knew the consequence of that about being thrown in the lion's den, his eyes stayed on God. He says, I will not falter. I will not fail to be faithful to who I serve. I will be constant. And I will be steadfast. That's what we must do, keep our eyes fixed. Let's get some scripture this morning. Psalms 121, we're going to start there, verses 1 and 2. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from where cometh my help. David's saying, where does my help come from? Next verse. My help cometh from the Lord, which maketh heaven and earth. My eyes are going to be on the one that can fix it. What our eyes are on, church, is what we focus on. What our eyes stay attached to is what we feed constantly, time after time after time. If you want to lose weight and you want to work out and you want to look good in the mirror, what do? You focus your eyes on the things that make you look that way. You focus on all the right foods, and all of a sudden, nasty food starts tasting good when you're losing weight. All of a sudden, you can start choking down some stuff that you don't normally like because you see the results of that. So I'm staying focused on eating this. I'm staying focused on exercising. I'm staying focused on working out. I'm staying focused, bless you, on doing all those things. I'm staying focused. See, I'm multitasking, unless I'm not. We've got to stay focused on what we're trying to achieve. And when the devil comes, his job is that you focus on him. Look at what I'm presenting to you. Look at what I'm saying to you. Look at what could happen. Look at what has happened. Look at what might happen. That's what the devil does. The devil's the Bible says he's an accuser of the brethren. He's a father of lies. He's a devourer seeking, or a lion seeking whom he may devour. He is public enemy number one. And if our eyes are on what the devil presents us, then that's all that we see. We see the failures. We see the mistakes. We see the weaknesses. We see the strongholds. We see the temptation. Instead of keeping our eyes on the Lord, because when our eyes are on Him, then we follow His Spirit. That's what Paul says. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What he's talking about is keep your eyes on Jesus. Because when your eyes are on Jesus, you won't fall for the trap of the enemy. You won't go down that road because the Holy Spirit, and the thing I love about the Holy Spirit living inside of us, it is always talking to us, but we don't always listen. I mean, there are so many times I have not listened. The Holy Spirit was talking to me, and I preferred my own will over the Holy Spirit. And church, we can do that. The Holy Spirit is not some magical thing that's going to just stop you from doing what you want to do. It simply leads you, speaks to you, reminds you, talks to you, but we can override that with our own will. And that's what's dangerous. When our eyes get on our own will, when our eyes get on what's out there, when our eyes get on the battle, on the storm, on the giant, on the problem, that's all that we see. But when our eyes get on Jesus, okay, think about this. Certain images, we have an immediate response to what we visualize. There are certain things that we know by one image what that is. If I would tell you, what does a yellow M represent? Anybody? McDonald's, right? What basketball player award number 23? Michael Jordan. Even some of you sports fans know that. There are certain images you see that you associate with something. When the devil presents to us something, that's what we see. And our eyes stay on that lockdown where the devil, here's something I don't agree with. Now, if you're involved in this, please keep being involved. I think it can be a very great tool in your recovery. But one thing I disagree with completely is when you go to AA meetings, whatever that's for, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever, and I realize they're thinking behind it. I realize what they are trying to say. Okay, you are an alcoholic, so you've got to always say that to remind yourself, I can't ever drink again because I'm an alcoholic. But what is that really doing to the inside of you that every time you go, I am James Lewis, I am an alcoholic? You know what that's doing? It's a constant reminder of what you were and not what you are and not what you can become. And I hate that because all you see, I mean, think about that. Every meeting that opens, you introduce yourself. I'm James Lewis. I am a drug addict. I am an alcoholic. I am whatever. If we have let Jesus heal us and set us free, I am no longer that. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. But I am now set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am not what I used to be. We have to change that mindset. Because see, as long as we say that, guess what? That's what we focus on. You know, alcoholic. And you know what? It keeps us so bound instead of realizing kind of how the law does. The law keeps people bound where grace sets them free. The law keeps people so bound. Well, When grace gets in there, you realize I'm no longer under the law. I'm no longer under that condemnation. But I've been set free. I've been reconciled. I've been justified. I've been sanctified. I've been glorified by the blood of Jesus. Remind us of what we are, not what we used to be. So when the devil presents that, you'll always be this way. You're always this. Your mama had this. Your grandma had this. It's in your genes. It's in your blood. It's in your heritage. It's in your family. Do I believe in genes? Of course I do. I'm not a moron. I know that we inherit things. I look like both my parents. It's not an accident. I wasn't born by the milkman, the postal worker. I was born by these two people, and I know that. I realize that I look like them and I act like them. And I mean, there's certain ways I walk or certain things I do. Melissa said to me yesterday, I was chomping my gum out loud. And it says, you used to talk about your dad chomping gum. You couldn't stand. You do the same thing. Chomp your gum out loud. I know that we inherit things. But here's the difference. If I'm always focused on that, well, you know, I had alcoholic parents and I had drug addict parents or I had, you know, nobody in my family lived past 50 because of heart disease. We focus on all that stuff the devil gives us. Then that's where our sight's at. Instead of saying, who says I have to be that because Uncle George was or Aunt Betsy was or Cousin Merle was. Who cares what they were? I know what I am, that I am redeemed, that I am in him, that I am bought by the blood, that I am Christ. So sometimes we put too much into what the natural part is and not realize, God, you set me free. I refuse to focus on that anymore. I'm going to look to you. That's where my help comes from. Go to the next scripture. This is two chapters over, Psalms 123. Unto thee I lift my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. I'm going to look to you, God. Verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord of God until his mercy is upon us. God, I'm going to look unto you until your mercy falls on me. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to deviate. I'm not going to look to the left or the right. My eyes are fixed on you. And I'm not going to let circumstances change that fixation. I'm not going to let problems move me off the spot you've got me. Because that's the problem so many times. The devil comes in and every little move knocks us off our game. And we take two steps back or two steps over and we're not where we were because we've let what the devil said get us off the place God has us. Being faithful is not easy, church. I realize that. Life changes. We don't understand things. You raise your kids the right way. They don't turn out right. You can't explain that. You might have a great marriage one day, and then all of a sudden you're divorced. Well, I don't know what happened. Somehow something just imploded there. You lose someone you love at a young age. I don't know why they died. Things happen. Life happens. But we cannot let every negative thing take us away from our eyes being upon Jesus. Paul says, I keep before me constantly the dying of my Lord Jesus. You know what Paul was saying? That's my source. That's my strength. That's my power. That's my vision. I'm going to always envision the pain that Jesus paid for me. I'm going to always envision the purpose Jesus died for me. I'm going to always envision the plan Jesus had for me. I'm going to keep my eyes so fixed on what he did for me that there's no room for distraction to pull me away from that. We got to get locked down. Let's put it this way. Do you mean? We got to get so locked down with Jesus looking at him. It's like when you're watching a football game and your wife's talking. We got to get that locked in. Because y'all don't hear, right? You hear rah, 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 rah. You don't hear nothing they're saying. You are locked in. You're watching Rambo go through the jungle. Your wife's trying to talk to you about, you know, the microwave's about done. Or you're Rambo, right? You're sitting there and you're locked in. We got to get locked in. We got to get so locked in that the things that come against us don't pull our vision off of him. Because when our vision comes off of Christ is when we begin to fail. It's when we begin to become weak. It's when we begin to doubt. And I know there's a lot of negativity in our world. There's so much negativity. There's so many things happening. There's so many, you know, things going on right now. It is absolutely incredible what we're facing. The things that we're facing right now in our world and our nation that can so distract us. But there's still a Jesus. There's still a Lord. There's still a King. The Holy Bible, I believe, is still truth. No matter how many people try to dispute it, try to change it, and try to say da-da-da, da-da-da, this is what I believe in. This is what I have to hold on to. And Paul believed in it so much in his cell before he was executed. The last book that he wrote, he was in prison. And the way he was writing these letters, there was a hole cut in the top of the cell he was in. It was like a little pit, and he was in the cell. And he was handing the letters out of top of the pit for other people to go and to take and to spread the news. His last epistle he wrote before he died, he is sitting in a prison cell knowing he is going to be executed. And here's the words Paul said. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Now there's a crown laid up for me. And not just for me, but even for Joe Brown and Sharon Brown. Even for you New Yorkers and Ohio's, even for y'all, there's a crown laid up for those who love his appearing. This tells me Paul kept it to the very end. He did not even let execution or dying for his cause distract his eyes being on Jesus. problems are going to happen. Church, things that we don't like or we don't agree with is going to happen. Please don't blame God for that, and don't turn from God because of it. That's the very time we turn to God and say, God, I don't understand it. I need you to help me understand it. If nothing else, God, give me, I don't even have to have the answer, just give me peace to get through what I'm going through. And I know I'll be okay. Go to the next scripture, Brandon. This is found in a couple examples I want to use here. This is, Hebrews 12 first. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a cloud of witnesses, all those have gone on before us, we've been compassed, let us lay aside every weight and every sin, sounds so simple, right, which so easily besets us. In other words, depart and lay it down. Whatever the stronghold is, lay it down. How do we do that? That we run the race, patient with the race that's set before us. We run it this way. Next verse. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. What Jesus started, he completes. What he begun in me, he will close out in me. He didn't call me to salvation to doom me to damnation. He didn't call me to the altar to send me to the pit of hell. What he started, he will finish. He called me to be a son I will stay, and a son I will be, because Jesus called me that way. That's keeping my eyes on who I am in Christ. Yes, I make mistakes, and yes, I sin. And I think last night's might try to set me up. Did y'all see that video of me dancing last night? There's my partner sitting right there, that guy. For the first time ever, Doc, I had an experience I never had before. I danced. It was Melanie's work party. They had a little DJ and some music. Went to her work party, ate some food. They had this song me and Brad always dances to. And I won't tell you the name of it because it's kind of embarrassing. But anyway, they had this song we danced to. That's just for fun. Yes, I definitely won't tell you now. We're out there dancing. Well, I get back to my table and sit down, right? And a few minutes later, the waitress comes by and puts a beer in front of me and says, somebody bought you a beer. Well, I must have been hot on the floor. Bought me a beer. And I said, that is really sweet, but I don't drink. So I said, tell them thank you. I'm flattered, but I don't drink. So everybody else like, I'll take it. Take it. So take it. Temptation, Doc. There it is in front of me. And I'm sure it's a woman that bought it. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. So anyway, it's sitting there, and I thought later, and I'm a preacher, somebody trying to set me up to see if I'll knock that thing down sitting there in a relaxed environment, and oh yeah, I'm in feeling, or they think I was already drunk the way I was dancing. That's more what I thought it was. But thank God I kept my eyes on Jesus, Mindy. Not on Michelob. Kept it on Jesus. Okay. Can't do this. We can have fun and still keep our eyes on Jesus. We can have a good time and still keep our eyes on Jesus. That is the point. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. I love what it says here in verse 2. For the joy that was set before him. Set before who? Before Jesus. The joy that was set before, how could joy be set before Jesus when he's hanging on a cross? One of the most brutal deaths possible was crucifixion. It was brutal. The way they died was suffocation on the cross. They nailed themselves to the cross to a point that they couldn't breathe, and they would choke to death. They couldn't breathe. They would suffocate till they died. And for me, that'd be the worst thing ever, because I am a claustrophobic extremist. I went to Baptist Hospital last week to see somebody. They were on the 7th, 8th floor, and I took the stairs because I don't want to get an elevator. And I found out later at Baptist they have people, volunteers, that will ride up an elevator. That's their whole job. People don't like elevators, they'll ride with you up and down. I would never volunteer for that job, but I'm glad they got them. So I don't even like elevators. Whenever I go see a patient, I'm glad when you're all in Statesville, it's only 2, 3, 4 floors. When y'all go to Baptist, Forsyth, Charlotte, I'm like, God, please not let them be on a lower floor. 8th floor, so time I get there, I got to get myself together before I go in, you know. Choking to death, that's what the cross was. They suffocated. How could Jesus possibly experience any joy while on the cross because of what he saw before him, what he saw ahead? You know what that was? It was us. It's like a mother giving birth to a child. The pain is not good, and the 9 months she's carrying it can be moody and painful and uncomfortable and inconvenient sometimes. But she sees the future, and she sees the birth of that child, and the labor is worth the birth. At least that's what they say. I'm not speaking for you women. Don't throw, shout me down. But I hear it's worth the birth. Jesus saw what was going to be birthed from the cross. That's why it says he saw joy. He saw us. And because of the vision, because his eyes were fixed on our redemption, he could endure the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured it, despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Next verse. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and you faint in your own mind. In other words, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't faint. Because you'll always be reminded of what he did for you and the price that was paid for you to be redeemed. Keep your eyes on the cost of your redemption. Keep your eyes, and guess what? We also can see the joy that's before us as well. We may be sick today. We may be crippled or can't walk or can't see good or hear good or have, you know, things that can't be fixed inside of us. We may be in a very low spot in the natural. But if you are in Christ, you can endure what you're going through today because of what waits on you tomorrow. Just like Jesus. I know one day I'll be in heaven. I know one day I'll be with the Lord. I know one day all my pain will be gone. I know one day I'll dance before the throne. I know one day that I'll shout hallelujah. I know one day all this stuff in this world will be gone away with, and I will be fully redeemed and restored in the way God created me to be. That's the joy we have waiting on us. So yes, we can endure some storms. We can endure some problems. Because remember what Paul says, things of this world, the things that they don't even compare to what waits on me. The things I'm battling now don't even compare. It's going to give way to a greater glory. And it does. That's why the Bible says, precious is the death of his saints in the eyes of God, because he knows what's waiting on them. Next scripture. Here's a couple examples of keeping your eyes on the Lord. Exodus 14:13. This is, of course, when Moses had led the children of Israel to the brink of the Red Sea. They'd been delivered out of the Egyptian hands. And they're on their way to the promised land, but something happens. They get to the Red Sea, and then about the time they get there, they look behind them, and Pharaoh's army is coming after them again, chasing them down. So they've got an army of soldiers behind them. They've got a body of water before them. They are trapped in the middle of the two. What do they do? Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Lord," or the Egyptians, "you have seen today, you will see no more." You know what Moses is saying? Watch God. Just keep your eyes on God. Don't worry about the Red Sea. Don't worry about the army behind you. Just keep your eyes on God. God did not call me to lead you out from Pharaoh's hand for you to be destroyed by the bank of the Red Sea. God called us out because he said in his word, there's a land flowing with milk and honey, a promised land you are going to inherit. And God's word, as we know, always comes to pass. Always. It is true. It is sure. He kept his eyes on the Lord, and the Lord delivered in a mighty way. And of course, we know the story. If you don't, I'll tell you real quick. As he raised his staff, the waters of the Red Sea began to recede. And for many people, I know they think the Bible is full of fictitious stories because people are so smart and intelligent, a lot smarter than, you know, other people. And so they take away any credibility of the Word of God by saying these are analogies, these are examples, these are hyperboles, blah, 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 blah. These events that happened, we read about, were events that happened, church. They happened. And there's no doubt about this. They happened. And more science has proven this happened. In fact, they have found chariot wheels and all kinds of chariot parts at the bottom of the Red Sea. Massive parts of chariots to back this up. Go to the next scripture. Oh, anyway, the Red Sea, God did part it, of course. He divided it. The people crossed over on dry land. And then as the Egyptians began to chase them through the Red Sea after them, God receded the waters, it swallowed them up and drowned them. That's what happened. Look at Numbers. I love this too. This is when they sent 10 spies to spy the country. Because remember, they were, you know, on the way to the promised land, and they were going to different places, and they said, I'm going to send 10 spies out. You check out our enemy. Check out what they look like. They were doing strategic warfare. He sent 10 spies out. They come back in verse 28. Nevertheless, here's the report back. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, and they are very great. And we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they all dwell in the mountains. All these different tribes of people were all in this region. Go ahead, Brent. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. But Caleb stilled the people. Now, some came back with this report. They're big, they're strong, they're bad. And what they really were saying was, we scared, and we ain't going to win. I mean, that's what they really were saying. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Why could Caleb say that? His eyes weren't on the giants of Anak. His eyes were on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had done before what he had seen God do. Who cares they were big? What's the old saying, right? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. I've never tested that, and I don't plan to, but that's what they say. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Who cares? God doesn't size up battles and storms like we do. That's what we do. We size up battles. We size up storms, but not God. David didn't size up Goliath. He didn't go up to him and say, oh, my gosh, O-M-G-S-M-H. I mean, shake my head. He didn't get before Goliath and text that. He said, oh, my gosh, what have I done? You big, bro. You work out. Woo. Let me do chin-ups on your arms. Woo, woo. I mean, he got before him because I'm not going to fight you like you're going to fight me. I don't care how big you are. You're not God. Don't care how tall and wide you are, you're not God. I'm not going to even fight you on your terms. I come against you in the name of my Lord. And my Lord is bigger, my Lord is stronger, my Lord is mightier than all your warfare, all your weapons, all your shields, all your armor. My God's bigger. Eyes are on you. On you, God. And David, this little shepherd boy, with no experience at all in fighting or warfare, a whole army of Israel was scared of this man, but not David. Because David had his eyes on God when he was a shepherd. And he saw God deliver a lion and a bear out of his hands where David slew them in the field. His eyes were on God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. You're waiting on deliverance, keep your eyes on God and keep waiting. You're waiting on healing, keep your eyes on God and keep waiting. You're waiting on a breakthrough, keep your eyes on God. The breakthrough will come. Keep your eyes fixed on the one that can fix it. Keep your eyes on the one who can heal it. Keep your eyes on the one who can deliver it. Keep your eyes on the one who can open the door that man's tried to shut and it looks impossible. And in one swoop, in one blink, in one thundering voice, in one breath, God can change everything for you. And open doors have been closed your whole life. That's what my God can do. Keep your eyes on him. Next verse. 33. We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came from other giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. This is the negative, people. Sizing up, we're like grasshoppers. We are small. Their eyes weren't on God. Once again, I bring up Israel, surrounded by enemies all around. Israel is a very small nation geographically, even population compared to the countries around it. But yet Israel has not been destroyed. They have not been wiped off the map. They have not been overcome because of the hand of God and because of their faith that God is over this nation. He's over every Islamic terrorist. He's over every pagan nation. He's over every anti-God country. Our God takes care of us. And God's word says that it will. God is bigger. Keep your eyes on him. God can do things man can never do for you, ever. Next scripture. In their sight, yeah. Next scripture. This verse came to me. I had this on this morning, actually. I had my message ready yesterday, but this morning I was over here praying, and this verse popped out, and I thought this would be perfect to tie this up this morning. Most time I read this scripture, the verse before, at most funerals, I'll do it usually at a gravesite. This is a scripture that most preachers use at a gravesite, talking about the resurrection, or talking about, you know, being changed. But I got to think about how this applies to today's message. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The strength of your bondage is you looking at it all the time. The strength of your stronghold is you always focused on it. The strength of your failures and your weaknesses is that's always what you're watching. And it gives it strength. It gives it continual strength. You're continually feeding it when you focus on your failures, when you focus on your stronghold, when you focus on what's pulling you away. That's what gives it power. That's what makes it a beast. That's what makes it almost insurmountable to overcome, because that's all you're focused on. And the devil's always reminding you, this is what you are, this is what you'll always be, this is how it is. But look what the next verse says. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. So how do I have victory? Through Jesus Christ. My eyes are on him. He can bring victory. He can take my focus off what's wrong, what I've been battling. And if I focus on him, that's why worship is so important, because when we lose ourselves in worship, then things inside of us begin to change, because we're no longer focused on what we came in with. We're not focused on what we're battling. We're not focused on what we got to pick up when we go out of this place. We're not focused on what happened yesterday. We truly get caught up in a moment of right now, present worship, escaping to a place like the old commercial used to be, Calgon, right? Take me away. The old Calgon back commercial. Jesus, take me away. I surrender. The song Martyr sung was beautiful. I hadn't heard it before, actually. I want to be at your feet. I want to be at the feet of Jesus. That's who I want to be at. If I'm at the feet of Jesus, everything's okay. Everything's all right. Don't focus on the storm. Focus on the one that calms the storm. Don't focus on the giant. Focus on the giant slayer. Don't focus on the battle. Focus on the one that can cause the battle to cease. It may seem impossible. Church, I know people that go through things. They battle their whole lives. And I'm not saying this is a miracle pill. Take this and everything's better. But I am saying this. When you focus on the Lord, he will give you day by day what you need. The strength you need, the peace you need, the love you need, the grace you need every single day. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And remember where he's brought you from. You're not what you used to be. And don't keep telling yourself that. You're not your past anymore. Jesus forgave that. And that's the hardest thing for us to let go of. Because of all the stuff. Here's what happens in our minds. Our minds is like a camera. We have continual photographic pictures of things we've done, things we've said, mistakes we've made. I wish I could have go back and do this. You know, the wishes, if I could do it differently. And it keeps us paralyzed. We can't change it. Though we want to, we can't. And don't let the devil keep that. Remember where he brought you from. You are now, if you are in him, a redeemed creation in the Lord. And you're not the sum of your mistakes. You're the redeemed of the King. Grace, they sung that song. There's no sorrow, there's no darkness, there's no pain, there's no grief that's greater than the grace of Jesus. It's powerful. Keep your eyes on him. Bruce, you mind coming up here this morning, brother? I got a request. You probably know what it is. Just hit me just now. Get that the way you need it. I'm going to have Bruce sing this song. It's one of my favorites that he does. It's a beautiful song talking about remember where God brought me from. As he sings this song, I want to open up the altar this morning and just, if you need to talk to God, come talk to him. This is a beautiful song, has beautiful words, a beautiful message. As he sings this song, the altar is open. If God is drawing you, pulling you, you're bound, your eyes have not been on Jesus, your eyes have been on all the problems and all the storms and all the battles, your eyes have been on all the pain and all the past and all the mistakes. Maybe you're here this morning, you're uncertain. You're hearing the word, but you're not used to this church kind of thing or whatever, and you're like, I know I need something, I'm not sure what it is. It's very simple, it's not complicated. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Talk to me and help me. I know I need a Savior. And I know, God, you can bring me out of what I'm in today and make me new. As Bruce sings this song, it's a beautiful message in it. Listen to the words of it. Altar is open. Come talk to him.
As I'm kneeling in the darkness, the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance that everything's gonna be all right. I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the winds, they hushed, and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue every time that you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I ran to heaven and I would do it all again. Do you remember where you came from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you think that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the winds, they hushed, and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue every time that you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven to die for your sins? I long to your heaven, and I would do it all again. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let's stand to our feet, church. Sing that together. Y'all know this song.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Y'all sing it to him.
Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Then Christ shall come with shouts of adoration and take me home. A fills my hope. Then I shall bow in humble and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great. Thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Just stay up there, Bruce. Y'all be seated. How great our God is, how great He is. Bruce will be here next Sunday night at 6 o'clock doing a singing here at the church. Him and Lindra, his family. So come out next Sunday and support them. We'll have some donuts and coffee afterwards, just for a little bit of fellowship. So come by and support Bruce. He's doing a lot of that now, going out, and you've got, 15, 20 nursing homes you're doing now a month? He's going to different counties doing these nursing homes, and some churches he has opportunities to go to as well and sing at. So we're very proud of him and what he's doing for the Lord. But he's going to be here next Sunday night, 6 o'clock. I know you're not used to Sunday night services anymore, so don't forget it. There's no football. Football season's over. So there's no reason you can't be here next Sunday night. In fact, there's nothing going on right now in sports. It's a very dull season until March Madness kicks in. So be here if you can at 6 o'clock. We'll have a great time. Invite your friends. I seen where Jewel shared it on Facebook, and she, I don't know if you saw that or not. She posted like 30 names. She sent a tag like 30 names of people, her friends. So come out and support her. We'll have a good time. And Bruce will have the whole service just to minister in whatever way God leads him to minister in Sunday night. So, ushers, come on up. Bruce, you get ready to play a good, I want you to have a good, exciting song here in a minute. Let you hear a little bit of what he does so you'll know. To update you on our building, what's happened, in case you're walking through there and you're like, well, it looks about the same, because for most people who don't know about construction, it looks about the same. But it's not. They have roughed in all the electrical, is roughed in outlets, all the wiring. The alarm and security alarm lines have been roughed in. They have roughed in some plumbing for the bathrooms. And looks like there's something else they did last week. Oh, HVAC. They got the HVAC. Spirals hung on the ceiling. The air handlers are up. So the HVAC is pretty much inside. So a lot happened last week. The plan is to finish the electrical this week. It's got to pass inspection. We want that, of course. So it's got to pass inspection. And then once that happens, the sheetrock will begin. They are supposed to brick the building, I think, this week, Wednesday or Thursday, to let you know so you're not like, oh, what's happened? The budget's bad. They're only bricking 4 foot on the two sides of the building. So this front part won't be bricked, and the back side won't be bricked at all. The two sides, 4 foot up, will be bricked to match what we got now exactly. So that'll look nice. So that's what's supposed to happen this week. So we're rolling along, and we're excited. It's going to be a nice space to use, and we'll just have to see. see, you know, have this extra space to use for whatever we need. Everything will be in there. We're going to have our sound and video set up right, day one. So we'll have sound. We'll have a TV screen like we do here in that building. All that will be in place in case we need to have a service over there. We can. For instance, not we will not make a decision, but if we do, Easter Sunday, there's always a great crowd. Last year they were standing along the back wall. If you were here last year, they had to stand up last year. We didn't have enough room in here. So that might be a service. Hey, let's move all the chairs, throw phone chairs in that building for that one service, and have our service in there for space. We'll see. But we have that opportunity now. We're excited about that. So we need your support. Y'all have been wonderful, church. You have been wonderful. I agree to say this because when I do, the devil takes that and tries to do something with it. But I want to give credit to God, and I want to give honor to you. So I want to do it anyway. Last year, 2016, was our second best financial year of the ministry. Second best behind 2009. So thank you for your support. Thank you for that. We need this year to be our best year. That would be amazing. So I'm putting a goal there to help out. And our goal is to get this building paid off in five to 7 years. 5 years would be great to have this debt knocked out and done. We're done with it. Me and Mel can retire to the beach and y'all can move forward. So now I'm playing. But 5 years will be our goal. That would be great. But definitely keep supporting it. We do need it coming in. You know, we'll have added expense with, we'll have a double power bill, you know, with that building. Our insurance goes up a little bit with that building. So there's some other expenses. There'll be monthly expenses as well that come along with that building. So, but it's coming along good. If you've not had a chance to walk out, if you got kids, please keep them secure. Don't let them run around out there, but you're welcome to walk out and look at what's happening and kind of get a visual of what's happening out there. To let you know, we are leaving the floor out there cement. It's not going to be any flooring. We had to cut some expense because of things we had to add. So we had to offset it, so we're going to have just a cement floor. It'll be pretty and shined up. The ceiling will be open. There'll be no drop ceiling. It'll be open like you see it now, but it will be spray-painted white, fogged white, they call it, to all finish it off. It'll look really nice. I went to Denver to check out a church Friday that did that, and it looked really good. So it's going to be a very basic building, nothing fancy, but that's not how we roll anyway. So we want it nice, but we want it just what we need. So we're excited. There will be no golden calves in there. No golden throne chairs, you know, just a basic building. So not even a platform right now. So it's going to be just one flat floor. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship. We thank you that we are reminded to keep our eyes on you, that you are the author, you are the finisher of our faith, and that, Lord, you did endure the cross for the joy that was set before you, and we too can endure our crosses here on the earth because of the joy that is set before us and because of what you did for us. Let our eyes stay on you, not our problem, not our giant, not our storm. Let us quit magnifying and feeding into that. Let us look unto you. And when we do that, God, the battle will look a lot smaller because you'll look so much bigger. Bless this offering as it's given unto you for your glory and for your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Take it away, Bruce. Sing something live.